morning, I'm Kath McAlone and this is A Country Breakfast on RN. This morning we're heading into the vineyard and hearing about a recruitment drive for what could be the wine industry's new best friend.
In fact, the best dogs that we can use are the ones that are slightly out of control, that people think this dog is useless. That's the dog that we want. Those hyperactive, mad case dogs that you think you can't train, they're quite often the best dogs for this sort of work. They desperately need a job.
Could sniffer dogs help detect vine disease? We'll also visit the other Pyrenees that's producing red wine to rival its French namesake. First though, for the big stories in rural news this week, Nikolai Bailharts joins us in the studio. Nikolai, it's the news that the Northern Queensland banana industry was dreading, I guess.
That's right. Some distressing news for banana lovers too. Biosecurity Queensland has confirmed a second positive test of Panama Tropical Race 4 disease. Now, this has been found at a second commercial property at Mareeba, which is about 180 kilometres from Tully, where the first case was detected 5 weeks ago. And I should say that Panama Tropical Race 4 is a deadly soil disease that can wipe out commercial banana industries. Indeed, that's what it did in the Northern Territory after it was detected in 1990. And it now poses a major threat in far north Queensland, and unfortunately that's where about 90% of Australia's bananas are grown. Queensland's Chief Biosecurity Officer Jim Thompson says they're going to be taking further samples from the property and investigate any links between it and that first farm at Tully.
The investigations they're undertaking are certainly looking at the connections between the two properties, and we're also looking at other connections. Tracing, as we've spoken about before, is a critical part of any biosecurity response, trying to find where the disease came from and went to. So that'll be part of this ongoing investigation that's being conducted at the moment.
Now, an issue that's been on the agenda for a while now is a massive potential trade deal that would take in sort of all the Asian Pacific Rim countries. It's called the Trans-Pacific Partnership, and I guess farmers are particularly interested in it, but also just people in general if they're buying consumer goods and that sort of things. Now, there's some concern that it might be stalled. What's the latest this week?
That's right. So negotiators from 12 Asian Pacific countries are believed to be pretty close to concluding this ambitious and somewhat controversial Trans-Pacific Partnership deal, but any deal could be torn apart in the US Congress. That's unless politicians there agree to fast-track the ratification process. Now, Scott Miller from the Centre for Strategic and International Studies in Washington, D.C., does say that he is optimistic Congress can reach a deal.
If I had to guess or die, I would say this gets concluded because there's tremendous political energy by the parties involved to want to make this happen. Our administration has invested immense amounts of prestige in this up to this point. I don't think they're going to let it slip away, but it'll be dramatic to the end.
But Australia's Trade Minister Andrew Robb says that he hasn't seen any recent signs of progress. He's warning that countries won't be putting their final offers on the table while there's still that risk that the deal could be torn apart by US Congress.
It could be over in a couple of months, but only if all of us, including the other 10 countries, were satisfied that the authority was being given to the US President. Otherwise, we're finalising a deal when it may be frustrated and challenged again in the Congress.
Now, a vet from Australia is off to take up a job on the other side of the world.
Yes, and a very big job he's taking on too. He's going to take over one of the largest corporate dairy herds in the world. So New Zealand-owned Fonterra International is building 5 dairy hubs in China that will house up to 20,000 cows each. Rob Bonino is a vet from Shepparton in Victoria's Goulburn Valley, and he's going to become Director of Veterinary Services for these dairy hubs. And it's likely that by the end of his 3-year contract, he's expected to be in charge of the health of 100,000 cows.
Professionally, the opportunity, it makes your lips smack. You know, you just get excited and salivate at the prospect. I'm not, you know, naive, though. I understand that it's going to be challenging because of the language barrier. I think that will be a huge problem. I don't speak a word of Chinese, which is going to make it hard. But I think there's more than adequate resources there to achieve everything that we could possibly dream, and maybe even more.
We hear a lot about interest in dairy from China, but China's not the only Asian country that's interested in our dairy products.
That's right. Dairy businesses are actually being warned not to overlook Southeast Asia in the rush to try and fill that Chinese market that, as you say, we've just heard so much about lately. One group of dairy importers and processors from places like Indonesia, Malaysia, Thailand have just been touring Australia, learning a bit more about the local industry. Now, Katie Wilson from Philippine importer Silverwave Corporation says that she sees that specialty cheeses will be a big growth area in her country.
A lot of the Filipinos were exposed to mainly cheese slices, cheese sticks, or the main popular ones, cheddar, Parmesan, mozzarella, because of Italian dishes. But now we're, like our business, we do a lot of specialty cheese. So now they're getting exposed to what halloumi is, what feta is.
So while the Filipinos want to buy our cheese, the Americans are interested in our prunes.
Yeah, that's right. The overseas interest in the Australian prune market is actually forcing local processors to pay a little bit more for the fruit. And the Californian cooperative Sunsweet is buying 700 tonnes of dried plums from southern New South Wales this year. And at Young, processor Verity Fruit is paying growers up to 20% more for their prunes as a result. Manager Chris Brooke-Kelly says price increase was inevitable.
The Americans have been used as a lever, for want of a better way of putting it. Which, don't get me wrong, yeah, the price of prunes definitely had to improve because it was just a few chaps that had actually pushed trees out. Our biggest stumbling block will be being able to pass higher prices on.
This next story sort of paints an interesting picture. Australia is embarking on a mouse census. I'm picturing little mice filling out their census forms. But what's it all about?
Yes, and the difficult challenges of getting other mice to go around to the little holes and make sure that everybody gets counted. It's not quite the same as that, but it is an interesting one. The Invasive Animals Cooperative Research Centre is launching this mouse census. Now, farmers are being asked to monitor mouse activity on their properties and then record numbers through a mobile phone app. Now, CSIRO research Steve Henry says the information is crucial ahead of winter crop plantings.
As far as knowing exactly what's going on, whether mouse numbers are increasing or decreasing, or how many juveniles or adults there are, that's really difficult to get at unless you're actually out there trapping mice and working out what the age structure of the population is.
And while farmers are keeping an eye on mice, some researchers are keeping an eye on little snails in Western Australia.
That's right. A number of cameras have been set up to monitor the movement of these slimy mollusks, whose numbers have rapidly increased in Western Australia. In some of the sandy plain soils in recent years, they do pose a threat to the grains industry there. Agronomist Andrew Heinrich says he's going to be spending a lot of time watching footage to try and decipher the snails' survival methods.
Yeah, well, it's a bit like watching snail porn, I suppose. Yeah, I'll be sitting back and I'll be monitored closely by my co-workers, I'd imagine. But anyway, that's the idea. It's time-lapse photography. The cameras takes a snap every minute that's recorded, and we'll download that and obviously play it as a video, basically trying to find out what they're doing when we're not here.
Might be some people's idea of a good time. Thanks, Nicola. You can find all those stories online at abc.net.au/rural.